The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, welcome to Not Another Anxiety Show. I'm your host, Kelly Walker, and joining me today is my co-host from thebabybroad.com, Erica Latham. Hey.
It's 1 degree.
I was just going to say something about this polar vortex. At least we're not in the Midwest.
My cousin Tony and his wife Amber live in some kind of Dakota. And she sent me a picture the other day and it was like negative 20 something and the wind chill of negative 65. That's silly.
My hearts are with everybody in the Midwest. That sounds horrible. Mm. Like that is so cold. 1 degree, no. That's nothing. I mean, I went out for a 4-mile ski today. Like I was like, I'm out of here. This fresh powder, I'm going.
You get it. All right. That's great. Good for you. And you're, you know.
I love winter.
Athleticism.
I love winter. It's the only way I can enjoy winter is if I go skiing. Otherwise, I freeze. I can't handle it.
Yeah. I think skiing was invented for seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah. But like, not I'm downhill. Sure that's not horrible.
You don't like downhill.
No, it's horrible. Cross-country skiing's the
what?
Best. Yeah, no. Oh.
I want a machine to take me to a top of the hill, and I want two wooden things to take me to the bottom. I don't want cross-country. Wait. We need to have a long talk about this. You prefer horizontal skiing.
Well, I mean, there's a little rolling hills, and that's really nice, and you can go
and
anywhere.
You have to ski up them.
Yes, but it's free. And you can do it anywhere. And it keeps me warm. When you go to like downhill skiing, you're getting lifted to the top of a freezing negative 10 mountain, you know, just shivering the whole way down an ice luge because we live in New England. You know, it's like an ice sheet. That's terrible. That's terrible. No thanks. I want to keep my ACL intact.
So you cross-country ski to stay warm. You know what else keeps me warm?
Some wise not. Ass crack like stay inside.
We've been doing this show too long. You know what's at the top of mountains? Irish coffee, which is a great segue into our episode today.
A question from one of our listeners we're going to address today. So I'll jump right in. Here it is. The question reads as such. So I am a 20-year-old university student from the UK, and I suffer from panic attacks and health anxiety. Could you please do a podcast about the effects of caffeine and alcohol on anxiety? Before I had anxiety, I'm almost done. Before I had anxiety, I was able to have fun social drinking, but since having panic attacks, the out-of-body, out-of-control symptom of alcohol can make me panic despite knowing the effects are from alcohol or caffeine.
Oh, God, I love this question so hard.
I'm surprised it's taken us to, actually, this is episode 170, to chat about this. Yeah, 170.
Did we breeze over 150?
Yeah, it happened somewhere. Yeah. And so, you know, I want to start by answering this is like, you know, alcohol and caffeine both affect us chemically. Alcohol, it's a depressant, meaning it slows down not only physical functioning, but psychological. So it may leave a lot of us feeling relaxed, mellow. On the other hand, we have caffeine, which is the opposite. It's a stimulant and increases both, again, physical functioning and psychological functioning. So if we're not already anxious, it may make us feel kind of good, almost energized and focused. Mm. So how does alcohol and caffeine impact anxiety? Let's start with alcohol. And alcohol can indirectly impact anxiety in a few ways. The first is by disrupting normal sleep patterns. And a fatigued brain is not nearly as good at regulating emotions as a well-rested brain. So after a night of drinking, you may find that your anxiety is more hijacking, a little more overwhelming, things that don't normally, you know, catch you might. And that's because we just don't have the same degree of emotional regulation when our brain's fatigued.
Yeah, we all know that friend that bursts into tears the second they have a vodka tonic, you know? Vodka soda with a splash of crayon. That's every, you know, young girl's drink right now. Yeah, and I'm one of those. Like, the second alcohol hits my lips, I'm like, I love you. I hate you. I can't believe he said that to me. You know, just like tears instantly.
Emotional regulation out the window. And again, that's why some people... That is why some people engage in drinking in the first place. So, I mean, that's not just those of us that are anxious. That's everybody. And, you know, another way alcohol can indirectly impact anxiety is by causing the brain to slow production of neurotransmitters called GABA, which is responsible for slowing down neural activity like worrisome, racing, or intrusive thoughts.
Yeah. I don't have a ton to say about that. It's just like...
Yep. And you know, the last big one is that alcohol can disrupt glucose regulation, causing hypoglycemia, especially in the quote unquote hangover period. And we all know that, you know, hypoglycemia often causes feelings of anxiety, kind of that shakiness, sweatiness, just general grossness.
Let me tell you about hangovers. So I just want to say that this can't, when you texted me about, you know, hey, can we do this episode? I was so excited because both of these were really instrumental in my anxiety story.
Yeah.
And alcohol culturally, both in my like family, I'm Irish Catholic, I'm from upstate New York, just what we do.
Yeah.
And, you know, socially, I'm 35, don't tell anybody. But going to a social event and not having something in my hand was a very real thing. So when I was really sensitized and I stopped drinking for a little while and I would go to anywhere, go to any a bar, go to hang out at a friend's house, I very literally didn't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah.
And it became such a thing that I stopped going because I felt like my social anxiety kind of took over.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what to do without drinking. And so there's like kind of like a alcohol can be like a multifold thing. Like the, it itself is a thing, but the social aspect of it is a very big part of that. And I kind of got that from your question, the listener's question. Like, I'm 20. I don't know. I used to enjoy the social aspect of this.
It can make us feel disconnected a little bit, right? Like it can make us feel disconnected from our peers if it's something that doesn't necessarily feel good to engage in at the moment.
Yeah. Right. And then there's some shame involved, you know, like, hey, I'm kind of struggling and I want to go out and enjoy this stuff, but I don't feel, you know, supported enough or brave enough to say, hey, guys, I you know, I want to hang out and I want to be social, but I just don't want to drink. And that can be just as...
That's super vulnerable. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's super vulnerable, but I don't think it's just the chemical compounds of alcohol, I guess is what I'm saying. I think there's a really big, especially with you're in my generation and younger right now.
Yeah.
I think there's a really big aspect to, you know, what do we do with our hands? We don't have a cup of coffee or a glass of wine in them, you know?
It's synonymous, right? Like an outing or hanging out with friends is synonymous with, hey, let's have a drink and it can feel like a pretty precarious situation when we're kind of scared of the way alcohol makes us feel, or if it really just isn't feeling good to an already taxed, tired, stressed body. And it can be hard to navigate that because more than ever, we need connection, right? Like when we're in that place, when we're struggling, we need that connection. And it could put a wrench in that navigating, okay, how do I get this connection without necessarily putting alcohol into my body?
But that's not what our culture tells us to do. Our cultures are saying, you know what you need at the end of a hard day is to numb. And that numaholicness. I don't think any of us would say like, oh, we have an alcohol problem. It's because a lot of us are doing exactly what society's telling us to do. Like go out and have a bunch of drinks and be silly and We see it all over social media. It's just what people do.
Yeah.
So we don't consider it out of the norm, but we very much are numaholics. And I think taking that away for me was so instrumental. Like, I don't have any stronger language for that. Like, it was so instrumental in my understanding my own anxiety.
Yeah. How did it help in the long run, do you feel like?
Well, first of all, I almost died from a hangover. And then when obviously I'm being like, you know, hyperbolic about that, but I was in the throes of anxiety, super sensitized, like super, super sensitized. And when you're wound up, especially my family's cure for that is like, you just need a drink. You just need a drink. Like, I, looking back, I can't believe it, but it's true. Like, just have a glass of wine and just relax, just relax.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't understand, the second that hits my lips, I feel like I'm dying, you know? Yep. Like, I physically felt it like in my chest. So I started to kind of come out of the fog of anxiety. I felt like a million bucks, as a lot of us do, you know, when you can like go out to like a party and, you know, whatever. So I was hanging out with some cousins and it was sort of an older party. So I felt really safe, like, you know, I just accidentally had like a box of wine, whoopsie daisies. And then somehow we were doing like shots of limoncello. It was like a just a crazy night. And they had these German friends and they brought over this stuff and I had absinthe in it and I didn't know that. So anyway, the next day I wake up and I really thought I was dying. My heart was beating out of my chest. I'm sweating. I don't know what my blood pressure was, but I can't imagine, you know, I mean, it was, I really thought I was going to die and I just needed to. And so it was like panic attack after panic attack because the physical symptoms of withdrawal during a hangover mimicked panic attacks, you know? So I was like, you know, hangover, panic attack, you know, it was like back and forth, like ping pong, you know?
Yeah.
And then after that, I was like, I just really don't like this. I don't like feeling like this.
Your body made it glaringly clear that like, this doesn't feel good right now. Sounds like
it used fear for, you know, kind of masked itself as fear. But the reality was, I'm like, I don't like this. So not to say that I haven't gotten drunk since then, not to say that, you know, I haven't been hungover since then, but it's the landscape of what I actually enjoy is different.
Yeah.
And I just became really vulnerable with my friends and family. And I know I kind of sound like a tough broad, like on here, but it's really hard. It's really hard to look at people and say, no, I don't want anything to drink. I'll have a club soda.
Yeah.
You know, and then they'll say why and say, it just doesn't feel good. It just doesn't. I don't like it. Yeah. And, you know, honestly, I got a little crap for that, you know, but the people that give me the most BS about that are not my people.
Yeah.
You know, so if not I go out people. And I happen to not want, I, you know, I had a girls' night last night and I didn't drink and they were like, oh, you know, you're making us feel bad. I don't mean to. I just didn't. It was a Wednesday night and it's freezing out and I just didn't want that, you know. It can be really hard to figure out what you want versus what you air quotes are supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
navigating like what, or tuning into like, what do I really need right now? And
right.
Yep. And that's a big part of it because really a lot of like, you know, if we talk about caffeine at all, like most anxiety quote unquote programs will say like eliminate caffeine right away. And I'm not saying don't do it or do it. But honestly, what helps the most is kind of tuning in like you did with the alcohol, tuning in, like, how does this feel? It's really a mindfulness exercise. How does this feel? Sometimes I would have the habit of like eating, you know, a box of Oreos. And when I started really paying attention to how that felt, I'm like, this feels really bad. You know, when I went through a lot of losses and grief, like, I was definitely leaning into comfort food, like Chinese, Oreos.
I remember those days.
So much Chinese food. And I started to realize, I'm like, you know, I feel really crummy after this comes at like a cost. And I'm like, it's tempting, but you know, it's when we tune in and really learn how something affects us, how it feels in our body's great, again, if we tune in, which we don't tend to do if we struggle with anxiety. We want to tune out. So it's a skill to cultivate. Yeah. But tuning in, our body is really good at letting us know, hey, this feels good or this does not feel good.
We're just not allowed. But I know we've got a lot to talk about, so keep going.
Okay. Well, I'll move on to caffeine really quickly. So we talked about how alcohol can indirectly impact anxiety, and this is how caffeine can indirectly impact anxiety. So as we said earlier, caffeine's a stimulant. It speeds things up. It increases the release of stress hormones, which again, it's meant to. It's what gives us energy, that focus that so many people enjoy when they do drink caffeine, but it can be really taxing on an already fatigued adrenal gland if we're sensitized. Mm. So that's why if caffeine has always felt okay, but suddenly does not in the midst of anxiety, it's because your adrenals are already taxed. They're already working really hard. And caffeine just adds another stressor to them. It's making them work even harder than they already are. So that's why it might not feel particularly good. And, you know, more stress hormones means more energy, more of those feelings that might not feel particularly good if you're sensitized, like, you know, palpitations, pounding heart, feeling kind of sweaty, maybe even a little nauseous. And you might feel like your thoughts are all over the place or racing. And again, it just means like there's kind of too much energy buzzing through our body, and we're feeling that.
Asking for a friend.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm sorry. You actually, everything you just said, you talked to me over and over and over again, because caffeine was the first thing I did actually cut it out.
Yeah.
Because
me too.
It scared the crap out of me.
Yep.
And I'm not a caffeine fan now, but only because I just don't like it. Like it
gives just doesn't feel good to your body, right?
Yeah. It gives me heartburn and I feel jittery, but not necessarily in a scary way. It's just like, ugh, I don't really need that. Like I'm jittery enough, you know?
Yeah. I have enough energy. Thank you.
I've got enough. Like I don't need more. Thank you so much. Cortisol does it for me. Thank you. Right. But I remember talking to you and being like, I just don't understand. I just don't understand how I can wake up one day and be completely fine drinking coffee. And then the next day I just can't. And upon reflection, I wasn't just drinking coffee. I was numbing at night with alcohol. And then I'd wake up and not just have a cup of coffee. I'd have like this comically large barrel of coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
A trough.
You know, a trough of coffee. Yeah, the extra large hazelnut coffee with cream and sweet and low. And I would have several of those. And or, and very much on the and, I would have Monster energy drinks.
Oh,
and
God. When
I know.
Oh, I've never had a Red Bull. I'll say I've never like had it.
Well, I want to have like a quick one sentence word to all of us about vodka Red Bulls in a second. But I would have Monster energy.
Don't do it, kids.
Don't do it, kids. Like you fools. And I'm talking to myself because that was my jam, right?
Yeah.
But I would have several Monster energy drinks because I just thought like, I just need to stay awake. I just need to be productive. And I can't do anything without my cup of coffee in the morning. You really can. Like first of all, I think it's important to say like there isn't one thing you can cut out or add to your body that's going to take your anxiety away.
We've talked about that. That's going to make you immune. Right. That's going to make you immune.
No, right. So if cutting out coffee doesn't get rid of your anxiety, don't be shocked. It didn't get rid of my anxiety. It's not something you get rid of. But it's one of those things.
It can be supportive for your body in a sensitized state.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I was super sensitized.
Yep.
And I was hopped up on all of the caffeine in upstate New York. Like, it wasn't helpful. Right. And I have found since, now I went at it from a place of fear at first, but I have found since, like, I just am not a fan. Like, for me, I'm just not a fan. That doesn't mean that you can't bring it back. Like, you enjoy a cup of coffee sometimes,
one
right?
Cup. I don't like more than a cup, though. Like, more than a cup, and I feel that, like, kind of shaky. It doesn't feel good. I know what feels good. And like that one cup, like late morning feels good. It feels sustainable. And I like the way that it feels. And, but I did not when I was anxious, and it kind of brings me to the next part, you know, like here we're talking about, we use the word indirectly regarding alcohol and caffeine causing anxiety. Because a big part of the anxiety piece when it comes to alcohol or caffeine is actually the story. You know, it's like the listener said, you know, they're like, they used to like socially drinking with friends before anxiety kicked in. So a big part of how alcohol or caffeine affects us is how we're interpreting the physical sensations both can cause, right? Because they do cause chemical reactions that we can feel in our body. And again, if we are super sensitized or overwhelmed, they may be magnified. So
that's the thing. It's a magnifying glass. It's not the injection of anxiety.
Yeah. You know, and like I said a second ago, like, I love the way one cup of coffee makes me feel. I notice more energy and focus. But when I was in the midst of anxiety, that energy scared me. I was already sensitized. So the sensations that caffeine produced, that they do for everybody, like an increased heart rate, looked pretty dangerous to someone with heart health anxiety, right? Like, my story was my heart was weak. So a hit of caffeine, you know, it shifted from something that I enjoyed in the morning to, like, kind of terrifying. And it was just the way I was, you know, relating to the experience. It was a big part of it.
Yeah. I'm totally on board. When I was super sensitized, I, like, very literally had, like, buzzing in my ears. And, like, it was all, like, most of us, like, a lot of us, there's a lot of physical symptoms. And
There's so many. It's like, we don't need more, right? In the moment, it just feels like we don't need more. And that's why I was like, I'm good on alcohol and caffeine for a little while when I was in the midst of it. Because I was like, my body's already buzzing. I just, the right thing to do at the time felt for me not to add more to it.
But I think part of my story and part of the way anxiety, or the way alcohol and caffeine indirectly affected my anxiety, was the opposite of that. Like, I don't, like I said before, like, I don't know what to do when I'm not doing this. I don't know what to do in the office if I don't have a cup of coffee in my hand. Like, it was more, I had to reevaluate my story behind the things I was doing. Yeah. And that's a lot of work. It's a lot of work and very important. It was very important work for me. And I think for you, like, we were able to reevaluate those things. But I guess my question back to the listener would be, like, what is it that you miss? Is it the drink itself? Like, do you really love the taste of wine? Do you really love, like, I have friends that really love enjoying beer. Like, they love to go out to a brewery and really enjoy that.
Yes.
Or do you miss going out to get drunk or buzzed? And there's,
or is it the camaraderie? Is it the connection, right? Just as the taste, like, or is it the connection?
Do you miss your friends? And are your friends giving you crap because you're not drinking? Maybe you need to have a conversation with them. And it's really, really hard to be vulnerable about this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, hey,
especially
guys,
if it's outside the cultural norm, you know, especially if it's, but I like what you say there. I think, you know, sometimes we're not ready to get into our whole anxiety story, depending where we are, right? We're, we're ready to be vulnerable at different times. So something as simple as, you know, it just really hasn't been feeling good can go a long way.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's sometimes the way it just needs to start, you know, just like, this just doesn't feel good. And, you know, and I actually, you know, I'd go up to my best friend and say, I need a little support tonight. Like, I'm feeling sensitized. This is what's happening to me. Like, FYI, that's a hard conversation. Like, can you, like, kind of have my back and, like, not let anyone give me crap about this? Because, and I just needed to ask for that, you know, and that seems silly to ask for, but you just do, you know, or, you know, hey, didn't you used to love coffee? Or, you know, try this. And it's like, well, it just doesn't feel good right now.
That's like with sweets. No, like, I'm a notorious sweet lover in my family. So people will so kindly and lovingly, like, make me so many desserts for, like, my birthday or Christmas. And, like, it was hard. It was hard to say, listen, these just don't feel good. Like, sweets don't feel good to me. They don't feel the same. You know, I think my body, maybe, maybe not, maybe I just wasn't aware. Maybe I could kind of ride the sweet wave train, like, when I was 20, but now, like, 32, like, it just doesn't, when I have a plate of brownies, it just doesn't feel good. I just
love awful. That it goes from, like, you can't have a brownie, it has to be a plate of brownies.
It has to be, that is part of it. And so,
and that's not you, that's me too. Like, I get it. But I think we do that in all aspects of this.
But, like, it's hard to be vulnerable when people associate, right? Like, she loves sweets and they think they're doing something caring and loving. And,
right.
You know, it's like,
that's the way we care for people right now. And we don't take time to say, like, what do you need to feel good, you know? But that's like a whole different
thing. But it involves a little more vulnerability than you think. It's as easy as like, okay, I'm not drinking alcohol or caffeine right now. And really there's sometimes a couple layers underneath that. And
there's always
a couple layers, yeah, right?
It's not, there's never a, you know.
So it's tuning in, right? It's tuning in, seeing how these things feel for us. Do they really feel good right now? Do they not? Being vulnerable with friends and family, right? If there's that social aspect and remembering that this isn't black or white. It doesn't need to be forever. You may decide you like the way you feel off caffeine or alcohol, but it's like a day by day or a for now choice.
For now.
That
always seems a little bit safer.
Yeah.
You know, just for now. Not even less vulnerable, but just sort of like, you know, I'm just not drinking tonight.
Tonight. Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Well, also don't do vodka Red Bulls. Just don't do it. Everybody stop.
Oh, I can't say I've ever done that. I am not brave enough. Yeah. Is that the right word?
Oh, no, I very much was brave because I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get tired if I drink alcohol and this will just keep me focused. Okay. No, you're just insane.
You're just insane.
You're just drunk and insane at the same time. So don't.
Don't do it. Okay, that's the takeaway today.
Okay, well, all right. There you go.
That's our episode. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and take a minute to write a review on iTunes so that we can reach and support more people. If you're looking for more resources like one-on-one coaching, courses, or have a question you'd like answered on the show, please visit notanotheranxietyshow.com. You can also get a free ebook there by subscribing to my newsletter. And until next time, remember, be kind to yourself.